It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flotto. Talking Wisconsin sports, NFL to D3 college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in one you read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Brakes, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny Podcast, the wonderful Winter Wonderland podcast at this point. With me, as per usual, Aaron Flottam. How are you today, Aaron?
Hey, John. I am good. I've spent the last week dodging snowstorms, and I'm currently held up in my parents' basement in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. I was supposed to be back to Janesville today, but this weather, it's been great. It looks like a snow globe outside.
That's great. Forgot to introduce myself as I got caught up in all the white around here in central Wisconsin, but I am Scotty Johnny himself, the not-so-humble host of this podcast, and I would like to remind everybody that, of course, on Twitter, you could follow this podcast. You can follow it at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can also follow me at not-so-humble host. And Aaron, where do people follow you if they were to follow you on the Twitter machine?
You can find me at Cheddar Talk, and I do take blocks as much as follows, so just go right ahead.
That's pretty awesome. And I'm sure after...
I was blocked twice in 5 minutes during the Vikings game.
That especially sounds accurate. The amount of blocks, I was going to say, during the Viking game had to have been higher than normal.
I got blocked like 17 times total. But like twice in like a minute, just like bam, bam, back and forth. Like, oh, okay, jeez. Whatever.
So, what we're gonna do this week? Everybody...
I wrote some mean things about them. So,
I think we talked about this a little bit before we went on the kind of Christmas break and everything like that. With Christmas and the Packer game being a Monday, we were kind of hoping to get some stuff out at different times, but just things with family and everything, we just weren't able to get it out in the way that we'd wanted to. What we're going to do this week is we're going to split the podcast into two sections. We're going to do two different podcasts, release them both tonight. So you'll see two of them in your feed. But this one is going to be an all Packers podcast. We're just going to talk about the Packers two games that we had, the Viking game and the Lions game. And then from there, we're just going to go through and talk about the playoffs and kind of where we're looking at here. So with that in mind, we'll get started with our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron. Main event is all Packer talk this week. So, hey, Viking game. You got blocked a ton. How about that? What sort of things were you pointing out?
I was pointing out the fact that their team was trash and they can't win in primetime games, and just a bevy of things, and it was just fun to watch. I mean, it was a slow starting game, and of course, you know, it was just like anybody. I thought for sure. As a matter of fact, my brother-in-law was in from Washington D.C., and I was in a hotel in Superior, Wisconsin, with my wife's family because that's where she's from, and my brother-in-law, who's also a Packer fan, the expatriate, like I said, to Washington, D.C. He was like, so the Packers are going to win tonight, right? He's a little bit more fair weather fan than me and my father-in-law, and we're like, probably not. Like, let's not get expectations high here. Yeah. Like, if there's going to be a game the Packers are going to lose, it's going to be this one at U.S. Bank Stadium. And I was more than happy to watch the Vikings. I was happy to be wrong, for starters, and I was more than happy to watch the Vikings fall flat on their face and watch their center, who should not be playing professional football, get pushed into the quarterback's lap all night long to watch, I almost said Bradford, but Cousins. play like hot garbage all night. The running game for them wasn't there. Watched their defensive linemen take cheap shots on Aaron Rodgers all night long, because that's what Mike Zimmer's defenses do. Watch Mike Zimmer give the worst half-hearted, limp-wristed fish shake at the end of the game I've ever seen, which was becoming of a 16-year-old boy, not a however old he is, which should say something about his maturity level and his just all-around personality. He's not a good person.
No, he's a very good coach, and we both agree on that. We both agree he's a very good coach.
If he was a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's had this team for 6 years, has made the playoffs 3 times, barely this year, and just got boat raced by a first-year head coach that's still figuring things out on the fly. This should be obvious at this point. And everyone who keeps saying, well, the Packers are the worst 13-3 team ever, great. They're still 13-3. They're literally still figuring stuff out as they go. This team isn't even complete. This is Matt LaFleur's first year. This team has been completely overhauled, except for a couple key positions. And, I was happy to see that. And I was happy to hear Vikings Nation crying. I could hear it because I was in Superior. I was close enough.
You could only hear it for a little bit. You could only hear it for a little bit before Viking Nation just ceased to exist, as per usual. Mm-hmm. And the Vikings fans just disappear and pretend that they were watching hockey.
They cried, then they blamed the refs, and then they disappeared.
Yeah, that's
what they do.
There were a couple odd little like, hey man, look at all these pass interference calls. They're like, they went both ways, man. You got away with a couple too. And some of the ones they were showing were absolutely not pass interference. Like the one where Kevin King basically trips, Adam Thielen also trips on him falling over, and then has the ball hit him in the chest and he doesn't catch it. And they're like, oh man, pass interference. Like, they're both looking for the ball. Neither one of them was trying. I mean, there's a little bit of hand fighting, but that was a clean play. And then the one with Jaire Alexander where he didn't touch him, but it looked like Stephon Diggs fell over like he'd been shot just because the ball missed him by forever. And, I mean, he wasn't catching that ball anyhow. I want to touch on the first couple things. You hit a couple big points that I wanted to go through. The first one is the terrible handshake is the most Minnesota thing ever. It's Minnesota nice to a T. It is the walking up to him. I'm going to do the big thing. I'm going to shake his hand, but I'm going to quietly make a way to let him know that I also don't like him and that I don't care about him.
No, and I hate this. to this day, when there's still coaches who don't like each other, you can watch one lean into the other one and say F you. You can see it. Like, I'm not sure if that's exactly what they're saying, but they give the handshake and they lean in and they say something not nice. But at least they make the conscious effort. He literally looked like someone who just got their ball taken away from them.
By the time their hands touched on the shake, he was already turning to leave. He had already stopped looking forward and was already leaving before their hands touched. It was crazy. The other big thing you said, too, is like there was no running game for the Vikings this week, and that's going to be the other big excuse. Well, I know it is, because the other great joy, and I'll digress just briefly on this here, the other great joy of sweeping the Vikings, beating the Vikings at any time, especially in their stadium, is going and listening to the Paul Allen show, the 9 to noon on KFAN. And that is absolutely a joy when they lose, because they went so far as to write a Christmas song about how they're going to beat the Packers, and Paul Allen sang it, and he is an enthusiastic man. And not a great singer.
Yeah,
it was unbearable to listen to. And you know what? Good on him for doing it. I don't think it's terrible for him to do it. He's not a good singer, and it's a fun, campy bit. I mean, it's a radio show. I don't begrudge him that. But man, it is fun to listen on. You know, the day after they lose, it's normally the Monday montage, but it happened Tuesday this week where they played the "Don't You Do Me Like That." as the song behind everything. Tom Petty. And they kept doing that with all the terrible things of Za'Darius Smith and everything throughout the game. That was the way they opened the show. That is an absolute joy to listen to. Also, the phone calls are a joy to listen to because, it is a just manic, depressive place.
Hey, by the way, you also had something that I didn't even get to talk about. How much is every single penny that they paid for Za'Darius Smith worth?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Both Smiths.
Worth 100% of every single penny they paid for him. That guy is a beast, man. And he has been coming on lately here.
And both Smiths,
he's been here all season, but yeah. It seems like at the end of the season here, he's been coming in at very clutch moments, like on third and tens, like right up the middle. Hello, I'm here.
Yeah, he had a couple big plays in the Lions game, too. He's been great down the stretch. He's been great all year. So is Preston Smith, who's also decently good going back from the line of scrimmage, like backing up into coverage if he needs to. And also Adrian Amos, like just crazy good. The safety play this year compared to last year has been ridiculously good. Going back to what we were talking about, though, as I said, listening to K-Fan, the biggest thing the Vikings fans were talking about is like, hey, we had no running game because we didn't have Madison and we didn't have Dalvin Cook. Yeah, they had him last time, and Cousins looked exactly as bad last time as he did this time. And, so it's
you still haven't fixed your offensive line. Your offensive line has been a problem for over a decade, and you still haven't fixed it.
Yeah, they had a couple of years. I mean, they spent big on that offensive line for several years there.
Yeah, in free agency, they still don't draft linemen.
Elfline is pretty good. We'll give them that. Elfline has been a pretty good pick. It was at Ohio State. They got him over at guard now, right, because they got Bradbury
in
there.
He was okay, but now they had to move over to guard because but either way.
You just rushed somewhere else. They destroyed Bradbury. That guy, he just couldn't find himself. He didn't know which way to turn.
Sweaty balls Bradbury, yes.
And
did you hear about that in the preseason?
No. I'm not sure I want to hear about it now. We'll talk about it offline.
That was an actual real story, was that the perspiration from that area of his body, it was concerned whether or not it would make Kirk Cousins' hands wet.
Jeez.
Anyways. That was a real story in Minnesota, by the way. Anyhow.
All right.
Anyhow.
Fabulous. Yeah. Anyhow, the other thing
might have to edit that part of the podcast.
Anyway. We'll see.
Sorry.
Additionally, they did lose Eric Kendricks, who did have two fumble recoveries in this game. Vikings, though, I mean, seriously, if you look back at this, the Vikings scored 10 points. They scored them early on two turnovers. Uncharacteristically underthrown ball. I mean, Aaron Rodgers hasn't been the most accurate he's been all year or in his career even. This year he's been a little off. And he threw one behind that got picked off on a good play by a good defensive back. You know, he made a good play. Harris, I believe, had the play, and that was a good play. It just turns out that way. And they got a couple fumbles. They got the fumble in and returned it down inside the 10, I think, and then I think they were at the 10, had a 5-yard run.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins underthrew some guys criminally, and then they kicked a field goal. They got the one touchdown on a very nice pass, and then they didn't do anything again. Just nothing.
They only did one good thing, and that was that drive that ended with the Diggs touchdown, right?
Yeah, and that was a short field.
Otherwise, besides that, their offense did nothing. Nothing. Like, it was dormant. And, three of the points were because they got a gift right off the bat when Aaron Jones fumbled the football, and thank God he did, because it woke him up. Because the report was that Everson Griffin yelled out at Aaron Jones after he fumbled on that play, "The lights are too big for you, boy. Go sit down."
That
didn't end well for them. So, anyways, that was they got gifted that 3 points, and then they earned the other ones. But besides that, they didn't do anything.
You remember the touchdown was actually after the interception, so that was a
26-yard. Right,
Yeah, it was a 26-yard drive on 3 plays. So they ran for 2, they ran for 3, and then threw a 21-yard pass.
Right.
So they didn't have a drive that started at the Packers 30 or further away that turned into points. You know, it's like
they're pretty pathetic all around. It was
After they got up 10-3, Packers went down, kicked a field goal, Vikings went 3 and out. Packers fumbled. Vikings had 4 plays on downs. They went out on downs on that next one. That's after they had the trick play where they overthrew Kirk Cousins and he just dove like a superhero and fell on his face. And then they went for it on 4th down and gave us a short field. And, we punted. They 3 and outed. So, I mean, after that, to end that quarter, 3 and out, 4 and out, 3 and out to end the first quarter. And then 3 and out, 6 and out, 5, 3 and out. Yeah, they didn't do anything for the rest of that game, basically. And, where's the end of the second, or end of the half there? Yeah. So, I mean, it was, 10-9 at halftime, and you felt very good about that. You're just like, wow, yeah. we have been putting together drives, and the Vikings got two big lucky plays that turned into 10 points. And you never felt terrible about it. And I'm like you, I kind of wrote this game off. I said, man, it would be great to win this one, but on the road, I just didn't see it happening. I think you remember when we did the bye week podcast with friend of the podcast, Jim Widener. I predicted 13-3 at that point. That was not my beginning of the year projection. I said 13-3 from the bye week, but I had us beating San Francisco and losing to the Vikings. So I had those two games wrong. At that point though, I'm very pleased with the way that all turned out. So I want to give myself a little credit, but also backhandedly remind everybody that I was wrong.
You were very wrong on two of them, but yes.
On two of them, but I had the final result, and I'm going to stick to that one. They played very well. Like, everything went generally how you'd want it to go.
Not everything went well. I'm looking back at it now because now, you know, it's been glazed over with fairy dust, and we're so happy that just went into U.S. Bank Stadium and whomped them. The receivers continue, and we'll talk about this in the trick, and receivers continue to play like crap. There was a couple big drops in that game, including I think it was the Vikings game where Devontae dropped a touchdown pass. It was behind him, but he still should have caught it.
Yeah, that was
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, it turned into a field goal.
Devontae dropped a couple other ones too, and it was kind of a drop fest. Like, I don't have it in front of me because I'm on my phone right now in my parents' basement, as stated, because I'm up north because I got snowed out, so I don't have my computer in front of me. But I don't have the drop numbers in front of you. God, there had to have been 6 or 7 drops in that game.
There are several. Bad. I'll say this: Lazard has looked very good. Williams got hurt in that game, and he's been a very important part of the passing game this year. Yeah. We didn't get a lot. I don't know. I mean, like, Vitaly was wide open on that one, and Rodgers missed him. But that was a beautiful play because he was wide
between
open.
Between Rodgers missing by about a foot, and then when he does make spectacular throws and guys dropping it, it's getting really irritating. It's getting super irritating to watch because it's just like it's the passing game just can't get it together. And if it wasn't for Williams and Jones, or Jones and Williams, let's put them in the correct order there, our offense would be really – I mean, I would dare to say Aaron Jones is our second best wide receiver.
Lazard has come on very well recently.
I don't mean to jump ahead, but I mean, both in the Vikings game, I think he missed a pass by about a half inch, and then yesterday against the Lions, there was another one that Aaron Rodgers overthrew him by about a foot.
And that would have been a touchdown.
He's always open. I mean,
he gets open a lot. I think we need, like I said, I would like to see more. We did it a little bit early in the year, but I would like to see them do more is line up in the huddle with Jones and Williams, and then maybe even put them both wide. You know, maybe have Jones, Williams, and Vitaly in the game. Put two of them wide. Pick your two. I don't care which two. All three of them can catch the ball in space and do something with it. I think that that's incredibly valuable to have and it's matchup nightmare. It is.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad that Williams was able to sit out this week too, and not have it cost the game. Because we're going to need him down the stretch, because those two are our best offensive weapons, Jones and Williams, and it's not even close. And I think it's hard for Packer fans to grasp that because it's been so long since we've had a weapon at running back. I mean, Starks had flashes of being a weapon at running back, and he definitely was a weapon at running back on the playoff run to the Super Bowl. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That dude could move. But before that, I mean, you kind of go back to Amon Green.
Ryan Grant was but Amon Green was amazing. Ryan Grant was a very good running back. He was a 1,200 type guy. You know, he could get you that.
Yeah, Grant was good. And I did no shots at Ryan Grant, but Ryan Grant was a good running back that complemented the rest of the offense. He wasn't really the weapon. I mean, Lacy was kind of a weapon for a short time.
First stretch.
But, I mean, the last time there we had a running back who was a weapon was Amon Green.
1,800 yards of Amon Green, yeah.
Oh yeah, and get that outside, 50. And those legs turn into wheels. He looks like the Roadrunner on Looney Tunes. His legs cease to exist. Now he just has blurry wheels, and he's down that sideline, and no one's going to catch him. I mean, that's the last time we actually had someone like that. And like you said, you know, Ryan Grant was a good player. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it, but he was a nice compliment piece. Starks could, when he was healthy and in his prime, he could move it. But, I mean, these guys are something else. I mean, I'd be happy to just have Williams as our number one running back, but instead, this kid from UTEP is unbelievable. What a find.
Yeah.
Miners. Fantastic. Very unique stadium. It's great.
It's kind of cut into a mountain. I've been on the field there. It's great. It's the Sun Bowl. Yeah, Jones got 23 carries. He had 25 total touches. He had 3 targets, 2 catches. 154 yards rushing, 6.7 average, 2 touchdowns. I think they said something like the Vikings at home, was it maybe just this year at home, haven't given up, or maybe in the stadium, I don't know, haven't given up a 100-yard receiver or a 100-yard rusher, and they gave up both in this game because Adams gets 13 catches for 116 yards. Rodgers has kind of at least found a way to be valuable in the offense without needing to be the focal point of the offense. In this game, I mean, he's 26 of 40, which is okay. And 216 yards, 1 pick, no touchdowns, sacked 3 times. His rating is 68.3, but that's because he's got the pick and he didn't have any touchdowns to take back any of that at all. So that was fine. But the best part is what is Kirk Cousins? Let me pull this up here quick. He was a 58.8 rating. Stephon Diggs, because he threw 1 incomplete pass, had a rating of 39.6, which is what you get for throwing an incomplete pass forever. You can just keep throwing them. You'll still get that. So his QBR, which is a worthless stat, but still fun to look at, Cousins was a 16.9. Only 16.8 behind... 0.8 points behind him was Stephon Diggs at a 0.1 QBR. whatever. So, yeah. Packers defense did pretty well in this game. And here's the thing that gets me with these teams. It's like, it seems the Packers play up to their opponents, and they play down to them. I mean, they seem to just kind of show up to exactly where you want them to be, except for the 2 trips out west. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Eagles game, the Packers should have won that game. They had 2 chances inside the 10, 8 plays, I believe, inside the 10 to win that game and didn't. The 2 trips out west are the 2 times where they just got beat. Other than that, the Packers have been close on just about everybody, it seems, and they play up to their opponents and they play down to them. It's crazy. They showed up against the Vikings. They were ready. They had the North is not enough shirts. They apparently wore them all week and forgot that there was more to do because, of course, the North may not have been enough, but Detroit's defense was enough to really kind of hold them back a little bit the next game. Everybody knows that then the Packers had a very rough, very exciting game against Detroit this weekend. And that game, just the tale of 2 halves. It was a tale of 2 different halves for this offense. Rodgers did just about nothing in that first half.
Right, and Kuhn even said, and John Kuhn, who does the sideline reporting for Packers Radio Network nowadays, he said it too. He said a week after Minnesota, where the entire sideline was up on their feet all game long and was bouncing around and was cheering on their teammates and stuff like that, he said about halfway through the second quarter, he's like, it's listless down here. He's like, everybody's sitting down, nobody's moving, nobody's cheering. He's like, this is completely different than Minnesota. He's like, nobody wants to be here. Well, which I can't, and it's Detroit, so I mean, nobody really wants to be there. But he said it's absolutely lifeless on the sidelines right now. And then checked back halfway through the third quarter after they scored a couple points and got back into it. He said they're moving around there, they're bouncing around like it's starting to become a realization that they, you know, they can win this game. And especially too when you look up at the scoreboard. Carolina's getting blown out by the Saints 35-3.
Terrible.
And so you have to win, or you're going to be the number 3 seed. And at some point, someone's yelling on the sidelines, hey, we're going to have to play next week if we don't get our butts in gear here and do something, because the Saints are going to win, And you don't know, and as it turns out, the 49ers barely won by an inch. But, you know, and so it worked out. And, yeah, it was definitely a tale of two halves. The second half, that was a completely different team. Completely different team.
Yeah, I mean, here's the drives for the first half. The first half, first drive was 3 plays, 2 yards. The next drive was 17 yards, 9 yards, 17 yards, and then the 10-play, 76-yard drive that got them the field goal. They didn't get 20 yards on a single drive until the last drive they had before half. And then, of course, they immediately give the 20 seconds. The Vikings go 51 yards and kick a field goal to stay 14 points ahead of the Packers at halftime. That's just crazy, yeah. Right?
Well, I mean, and what was Rodgers, like 2 for 11 for like 9 yards at one point in the second quarter?
It was
just absolutely ridiculous. And and Detroit was playing with all the starters they could. To Detroit's credit, they didn't just sent out the best lineup they could. Now, Detroit was still beat up, though. I mean, Stafford's not playing, so they got Blau out there. And then, I mean, beyond that, Kerryon Johnson's back now, so that's a plus for them. But they're missing a lot of other players, too. So it's not like this 3-11 team was sending out a bunch of 3-11-1, excuse me. Team was sending out, you know, a bunch of scrubs and just washing it and calling it a day. They went out to beat the Packers, where they're a much lesser team.
They have no tomorrow. That was the thing. It's like today they're cleaning out lockers and they're getting ready to go home and they're just done for the year. Yeah, Kerryon Johnson coming back was a big step up for them. And I think that they had an emotional step to what they were doing, too. First off, yes, last game of the year, it's their last chance. The NFL is so different than other places where when you're out of it in the NBA, you know, they're sitting people and they're this and that and they're just throwing things in. The Lions are playing because they're playing for the jobs. Like, every one of those players is playing for a job. The NFL is different because even though there's 53 guys on a roster, those guys on the field are playing to get a job. Blau knows that this is his opportunity to look like an NFL quarterback out there. Matty Patty would like to keep his job, his phony baloney job. So he's trying to coach him up to get out there. And they did suffer the massive tragedy this week. And you feel for the family and for Marvin Jones and his family what is just an undescribable sort of pain that they must be going through. And I couldn't imagine it. Couldn't imagine what they're going through.
And that's real life too, and that's completely different than.
And we
don't have a podcast about real life. This is a podcast about football.
We feel bad for him, and we definitely send out our prayers to his family, and we hope very much that somehow they can find healing in the future here. But that, in terms of just what happened on the field, they had a very nice sentiment there. They did something in one of the breaks for Marlowe, I believe. And, that team was playing for that. They were playing for Marvin, and they said so, I believe, a couple different times, that they were playing for Marvin Jones and his family. That team was amped up to win. They did not lie down, and they gave a great game.
No, they came out like the Dolphins did against the Patriots. with nothing to lose except a draft spot. You know, by winning, all they're doing is losing a draft spot. But, I mean, they came out and gave everything. They came out swinging, man. Like, they came out. But the problem is at the end that they just were lesser of a team, you know, talent-wise. And so good on Detroit for not laying down. There was a lot of teams that just laid down and died yesterday.
Like the Browns.
A lot of teams that are out of it, Chargers being one of them. My God. Did you see, going back to week 16, did you see what they did at Alameda Stadium at the end of the game? After the last Raiders game?
I might have. I can't remember what you're talking about, I guess. What was it again?
They were ripping down all... The fans were ripping the Raiders emblems off the stadium. perfect Raiders fans fashion. Oh, and I can't blame them. I cannot blame them. The Raiders have no reason to leave Oakland, except they can't get a new stadium.
They have left that city twice.
They have one of the best fan bases in football. And that fan base was tearing... The Raiders' name off that stadium on the way out.
Now,
it was great.
The city of Atlanta has lost two hockey teams to Canada, but they did not lose the exact same hockey team twice to other cities. The Raiders left Oakland, came back to Oakland, and left it again. I mean, what a sad painful relationship. If you had a buddy that did that with a woman, you'd be like, man, don't do it. Don't go back. What are you doing? You know, like, this is unbelievable.
I bet you they'll be back in Oakland in 5 years too.
Ah, they'll find a way. It'll be that same thing where, like, growing up, my dad kept calling them the Oakland Raiders, and I'm like, what are you doing? But yeah.
No, I'm just saying, though, that they're going to go to the Las Vegas, and Las Vegas Golden Knights are already seeing it. It's like, you know, they had that magical Cinderella rookie season, right? And now they're not doing so hot, and nobody's showing up because it's Las Vegas. And
well, the thing about Las Vegas, nobody, that's help
nobody them. Lives in Las Vegas.
Right.
People just come to Vegas to sin and leave quickly.
But that's thing is, the casinos will buy those tickets and give them away. The same reason why the flights to Las Vegas are cheap is because the casinos subsidize it. Is the same reason why it's going to be cheap to get a ticket to there. You're going to go there because they're going to give you the ticket for free. And then you're like, I may as well catch an NFL game, which cost me $100 at home, and the casino just gave it to me for nothing to come here.
No, it's like this last year, if you wanted to go to a Miami Dolphins game, you could for $5.
And Washington, you could sit at the 50-yard line for $40.
For $40. Yeah.
Yep.
Against the right team. Not against the Packers.
Yeah.
But, you know.
No, of course, because then there's a market. Not against the Eagles either. Here's the thing, though. If you'd have told me at the end of the day that after that first half, if you'd have told me Rodgers would have thrown for 323 yards, I would have just been in utter disbelief. I also would have thought they'd have blown him out. But I'll tell you, if you'd have told me before the game that Rodgers was going to throw 55 passes, I was going to say that we were in trouble, and we definitely were. I would have told you we'd have lost. We don't win when Rodgers throws 50 passes. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I know we don't. I know that because I've seen that. Those numbers have flashed up every other time. Quarterbacks who throw 50 times in a game, they're doing so because things are going badly.
Or they play for Texas Tech.
Yeah. I mean, NFL quarterbacks. In the NFL, if you're throwing 50
NFL, okay, in the NFL, true story. Yeah.
Throwing 35 times is pretty much the norm. Throwing 55 times is insane. But yeah, and on top of that, Aaron Jones gets 100 yards rushing and gets his first 1,000-yard rushing season. So congratulations to him. He finishes with 1,000. Rodgers crosses over the 4,000-yard mark for, I believe, the eighth time is what I heard on the radio. And Devontae Adams finishes with like 997 yards or something like that. Just misses. Yeah. But yeah, he got a touchdown. He had that
Which
route.
Bad
is
because
crazy
he missed
good.
What, five games?
Four. Four games with a turf toe and almost had 1,000 yards. And that route for his touchdown, man, was that was a great route. He just by the way he ran, the way he cut, the way he turned his head, and the way he convinced everybody what route he was running before he turned and went the complete opposite way without breaking stride. It was a thing of beauty. And if you can't appreciate that, you need to just sit and watch other wide receivers run routes, because that route, I mean, he made himself open. He was open by 7-8 yards easily. And it was just a thing of beauty to see.
If he would have only caught that touchdown pass against the Vikings, he would have broke 1,000 yards.
That's true.
I'm sorry. I'm not letting him go, man. He had a couple drops over the last couple weeks that made me mad. But
He did. He had a couple over the middle, too, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago. But, I mean, like, it ended up being, you know, going pretty well. But, man, I'm looking at the win probability stuff ESPN puts on their site. With 4 minutes left, Lions were still projected to win 54.4% in a tie game. They were projected to win. And then, actually, if you go a little further down, because there were a couple bad plays, there's a scramble, penalty in Detroit, unnecessary roughness, enforced at the Green Bay 19. Remember, he had that short four-yard run, slides down, and they hit him high as he's going into a slide. At that point, like that's the point where the Packers were actually finally projected to win and continue to be projected to win until the very end. A couple big plays, that last drive, I'll tell you, when they got rid of the ball at the end there, I thought there was no chance they were getting the ball back. I don't know who believed that they were going to get the ball back with the way that Kerryon Johnson was running, with the way that that they were able to make just somehow some pass work. I mean, Blau didn't have a great game by any stretch, and Galladay was out of the game in the second half with concussion symptoms, I believe. But yeah, you felt like it was just something was going to happen, because the Lions kept finding a way to get some sort of some play going to just kind of sneak past the first down to kind of get 5 yards when they needed it. And we kept looking for big stuff. It seemed like early in the game too, the Packers started off saying, let's put this away early. You know, the whole all gas, no break that we were talking about at the Oakland game again, back long ago in the before times and the long ago. And it seemed like they were trying to press the ball downfield, and I haven't gone back to watch it at all, but it felt like they were throwing the ball, and it looked like it. I mean, they definitely were holding the ball and trying to get the ball downfield. The first several passes were 15 and 16 yard type plays. They were trying to get big chunk yards suddenly, which is a lot like a Mike McCarthy system. But I guess I don't know how much of that was. What was the play set up? And did Aaron just want to make the big play? And I don't know how much of it was what was actually called and how the scheme set it up. That part
are you talking about? I was early, looking up something else. I was
early
trying
in the
to
game.
Figure, I was trying to.
Like the first big pass to Jimmy Graham is a big long one. I mean, not huge, but I mean that's a good deep seam route. He's like 16 yards downfield when he drops it. If he catches that again, that might have set the tone for the whole game. If he doesn't just drop a ball that hits him in both hands, then there were. I mean, it looked like they would throw. It would be incomplete, 15 yards downfield. Then we would run, and then it would be, you know, 3rd and 8, and then then they would blitz us, and we wouldn't take advantage of the blitz. So it was a strange setup on how things seemed to go, but yeah.
No, I was. I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out what happened to Za'Darius Smith during the game. He was sitting most of the game, right, against the Lions.
He had a bunch of pressures late in the game, and he made some plays down the stretch that definitely helped.
His stat line was down. That's why I was just trying to figure out where he was for most of the game. But anyways, sorry if you're doing this chronologically. I'm sorry, but I was gonna say too. When it was 20-20 at the end of the game. And there was 2 straight drives in a row where Rodgers was just hucking balls like 40 yards downfield again. Didn't that just seem really odd?
Yeah.
Like the last 2 drives before the field goal drive to win the game. Like the field goal drive to win the game was back to check down, short pass, like that, getting a couple fourth downs here and there. But the two drives prior to that where they could have sealed it up earlier, I mean, they might have even been down by
touchdown.
He was hucking 40-yard bombs.
Yeah, they got the touchdown. They were able to get the short little play to get the fourth down conversion to the 31. They had the 3rd and 10. They got the touchdown, 28-yard touchdown pass to Lazard. Then the Lions go... Well, they
were. That was a great catch by Lazard, by the way.
Yeah, the Lions get run 4 plays, take 1:45 off the clock. Packers get the ball. There's 3:34 left, okay? And this is the part that just seemed like this is where I kind of felt like we had no chance, and I felt kind of resigned to it. But, I mean, like, they had a couple plays. They had Aaron Jones out the middle for no gain. They had a 1-yard run around the end. They kept trying to find ways to get Aaron Jones around something or get him off the edge, and they were really keying on stopping him. Detroit was, and then they had another play. They got a first down. Well, okay, to Lazard. Then Tanyan got involved, and then they had a couple plays. But then it was 3rd and 20 at the Packer 30, and Rodgers threw the deep pass. It was intercepted, underthrown. Normally he's been overthrown guys. This one was massively underthrown. And caught at the Detroit 26. And that's the point where you're like, Detroit has the ball now. They have 1:40. They had 1:40 left in the game. And you're just like, geez.
With the guy with the bionic leg, Matt Prater, who, if he lines up at 65 out,
you're still
shaking. Because he might make it.
Yeah. So that was the thing. I was like, man, they got the best long-distance kicker maybe that we've ever seen. They don't have to get that far. They need, 36 yards. It's like in 1:40 with their timeouts left, and they didn't get a first down. They went 4 and out. No, they went 4, and then they punted. Sorry. So they got 5 total yards on that. So they got 5 yards. They got nothing. 2 incomplete passes. They punted the ball to us. that was genius because the 5-yard play they had, he got pushed out of bounds. And then the incomplete pass. They got the ball with a minute 40. They punted away at a minute 26.
Yep.
That was the worst thing they could have done. That gave us all the time in the world. They needed to complete some passes and get in field goal range. And they didn't do it. And they gave the Packers over a minute to try to get into field goal range. And, you know, they had a couple nice plays. They had some runs. They had that incredible pass to Aaron Jones. And like, you don't know, I've watched it like 7 times and you're just like, I don't know how any of that play worked.
Well, at first too, like when we were watching it, it looked like it was a trash play, but then when you slow it down, that was obviously a screen. And I'm going to digress for a second here.
I can't remember
who I saw online. On Twitter, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. It was breaking down Elgin Jenkins against the Vikings on that big run that Aaron Jones had at the end of the Vikings game to kind of seal the deal, the big 33-yard run. Elgin Jenkins was in space because the tackle had Everson Griffin and the center had the nose tackle. He literally watches Everson Griffin's hips. Once Everson Griffin commits to the outside, he shoves the nose tackle back into the center to get him. Then he goes and crushes a linebacker and gets a piece of a cornerback with his hand. He essentially took care of 4 people on one play. This guy is good. And then on that screenplay, fast forward a week to that screenplay, Elgin Jenkins was at the point of attack on that one too. The Packers got a steal with Elgin Jenkins. He is breaking NFL records for rookie linemen.
He's great.
Especially guards.
Yeah.
800-plus snaps without an allowed sack or QB hit. This guy is making third-level blocks.
Yeah.
This guy is amazing.
Yeah, Elgin Jenkins.
This is a perfect opportunity to bring up Elgin Jenkins. Elgin Jenkins.
It's Elgin.
Leroy Jenkins?
Leroy Jenkins.
Sorry. And it was a good point to bring him up because on that screenplay, it was kind of the same thing. He was... Aaron Jones, after he caught the ball, rode his hip for about 5 yards before breaking off and doing things that running backs do when they outrun their linemen. And so that guy's good, by the way. Sorry.
It was crazy because the way it's set up, normally a screen, you move kind of back and away from the screen. Rodgers is rolling towards the screen. As he's hit, kind of sidearms it over to Jones. It looks like, I think it's Lindsley, like falls
it looked
over.
Like, it looked like a broken play.
It looked like Lindsley was going to knock him over.
All of a sudden, you see Jones surrounded by 4 linemen. You're like, oh, wait, that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, and then just makes a couple cuts, and he's down, and you're like, we're in field goal range. That's it. And it's like, we just got to make sure we're in the right spot to actually get a field goal. Like, put it on whatever hash mark Mason likes the most. And the best thing is, apparently, Aaron Rodgers, coming off the field, tried to say some words of encouragement to Mason Crosby. This was report. I can't remember where I saw it on Twitter. I'd like to give the proper name to it, but I can't remember who reported this. But apparently, Aaron Rodgers is trying to give some support to Mason Crosby on the way off. And after that kick, Mason comes off the field. He's like, "Hey, did you say something to me?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, don't ever do that to me again. That really threw me off." He doesn't want people talking to him as he's going on the field. And Rodgers is like, "Come on, man, you got this. Let's go." And he's like, "What? What was that?"
Don't ever say anything to me again. Oh, I was so happy for Mason Crosby, man. Because what is he? He's like, what? He's made all except 3 kicks since that horrible game against Detroit last year.
Yeah, he's had crazy numbers since that kick or that 5-miss game. Which I recall because I was driving back from Peoria, I believe, that day when all that was happening. Because I keep remembering getting out and angrily pumping gas and stuff like that. So
I was up at Mike. It was right after we'd moved to Janesville and we'd finally gotten moved in a little bit. And I took me and my family went up to my cousin's house in Madison. And we were going to, you know, it was pretty foolproof. They were going to play the Lions and we were going to watch the Packers win. And then we saw that and it was like, dear God. He honestly thought the wheels had come off Mason Crosby at that point, right? And, they brought in a new kicker this year, and there was talk about, hey, the only person left to defend him anymore is Aaron Rodgers, because McCarthy's gone. They're all gone. It's now Mason Crosby has to kick for his job. And they brought in what's his name, who ended up going kicking for Ficken. The Jets.
Yeah.
And Ficken.
The kicking Ficken.
Yeah. Ficken. Sure. Anyways, and so he beat out Ficken, and I'm happy for him because I mean, he's been here forever, and he's going to go into the Packer Hall of Fame. And can we cheer for Mason Crosby? Because he's like, besides Rodgers, he's the only one left anymore. You know, and like, I was so happy for him after he made those kicks, and it was dead on. I mean, this guy is drilling them. It's not like he's just sneaking them inside the rails sometimes. He's putting them right down the middle of the uprights on every kick.
And it's the curse of the kicker is that you remember that Detroit game, and we all remember that Detroit game because he had a terrible game. But the fact that what he should be remembered for is he kicked a 50-plus yarder to beat the Cowboys. He has been a very legitimate pressure kicker in almost all of his career. He goes out and makes them all the time. He's been a great distance kicker. He's not Prater. Prater's going to prate. But he is fantastic with a big leg, and he does a lot of great things for this team. And he doesn't get the credit because people will point out one game like that or the one bad year he had back, I forget when.
He's been a top 10 kicker. Favre was still quarterbacking. Yeah.
He's been a top 10 kicker in the NFL. Most of his career, he's been one of the top 10 kickers in the NFL.
And he plays at Lambeau 8 games out of the year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the guy, like you said, I think he's missed 3. I think you're right on that since that Detroit game back then. And by the way, the Packers.
And none within 50. He's missed like one extra point and 250-plus field goals.
He missed the one extra point last week, yeah.
And then 250-plus. He hasn't missed from inside 50 since that Detroit game.
Here's the best part of the entire thing. The Packers in 2019 season have never been ahead of the Lions at any point during the game. In 2 games, they never had the lead. The Lions were either tied or ahead the entire time. And Mason Crosby won on game-winning field goals both times.
Wow. Hey, and that means that's also the Detroit Lions Hail Mary. That's 3 games in the last 10 years that they've won without leading the entire game. Because it's the same thing with the Hail Mary game. They were behind the entire game. Even after time had expired, they were still behind. But because of an untimed down, because of a defensive face mask, the Packers actually never led at any point during the game except after time had expired. So, yes.
Yeah, that game was great because my wife went to bed. And I came upstairs to tell her afterwards. I just walked in the room and I couldn't say anything. She's like, yeah, is it over now? I was Vikings, we won. And she's like, no way. I was like, but yeah.
Vikings fans, you have nothing on what Detroit's had to deal with the Packers beating them.
No. But not just the Packers. They are almost a Chargers level of finding ways to lose. The Chargers are artists at finding ways to lose games that they have locked up. But the Lions find ways somehow to be involved in these games where just some fluke thing happens to them. I mean, they get the interception. They have a 1:40 and the ball and one of the best distance kickers ever. And they find a way to lose that game. How do you do that? It's unbelievable.
The Packers are the reason why Calvin Johnson retired. Because during that Hail Mary game to Richard Rodgers, you could see it, and Calvin Johnson fainted on the sidelines.
Oh, like, I don't remember that, but yeah.
You could see the pain on his face when that happened. And he retired 3 games later.
Also because Stafford just threw up prayers to him all the time and got him injured repeatedly. But other than that.
Is he available?
Who? Calvin Johnson?
Calvin Johnson.
Jeez, probably. I don't think he wants to play anymore.
He's got to be better than MVS, right? Sorry.
I'm hoping MVS bounces back. We could talk about that more, too, after this. But I'd say, like, the other thing is I've done some sparring this year with Pride of the Lions, which is the SB Nation group that writes for the Lions news stuff. They've been so tame this last half of the year. They were really amped up and fired up when they started off a little hot. And then they started becoming a losing team. Then they lost Stafford. Let's remember, for all the well-wishing and, man, what a wasted year. If only we had Stafford. They were a losing team when Stafford got hurt. I mean, they had a losing record when Stafford got hurt. they didn't lose all their, they weren't like going to the playoffs and then Stafford got hurt and then the season just tanked after that. Like, yeah, they didn't win a game after he left, but they were a losing team with him. With him and Kerryon Johnson, by the way. So they've got some talent, but that team is a little behind and they're just somehow snake bit. And I wouldn't trust Matty Patty. I hope he stays there forever.
Oh my God. By the way, I forgot to tell you this. So when we were watching the game, so my parents, I love them. My mom's the best Packer fan on the planet. I swear to Christ, she really is. She hates fucking Aikman so bad. She's that big of a Packer fan. She's so blinded by the green and gold.
I don't mind.
When I at the end of the game when Mason Crosby kicked that field goal, because you know me, I'm a pretty down to earth Packer fan. I don't get too up about it, except for when the game's on, and then I turn into a rabid, just ridiculous Packer fan, like, especially as things happen in the game. At the end of the game when Mason Crosby made that kick, I just yelled out, F you, Matty Patty. And my parents look at me and my mom goes, who's Matty Patty? Matt Patricia. That's his nickname, Matty Patty. She almost fell off the couch and I thought I was going to have to call Life Alert because she was laughing so hard. She goes, he looks like a Matty Patty. Yes, Mom. It's okay to call him Matty Patty.
That's awesome. So looking forward for the Packers as we try to wrap up this of our first of our two little episodes here this week. Basically, the options are the Packers will play anyone but the Saints, I think. Yeah, because the Saints will have the – no, I'm sorry. They'd play the Saints. They'd have to play whoever is the better of the teams that gets through. So they'll play the Saints – or the winner of the Seahawks-Eagles. If the Vikings win, the Vikings being the sixth seed would go play in San Francisco. Only team the Packers can't play is the Vikings. So they'll either
until
be playing...
Until the NFC Championship game, in theory.
Yeah, so if the Saints win, we would play the Saints, so it would be a 2-3 matchup. And then if the Vikings somehow won, which I don't see them doing that, I just don't think they're nearly a match for the Saints. But that is turning into like a Packers Seahawks sort of thing. The Vikings Saints, they've had at this point two pretty fantastic. Oh, maybe I'm trying to think. They've had a couple fantastic, memorable playoff games against each other. They've had the Minneapolis Miracle. They've had the game where they just decided to put Bounty Gate on Favre and see if they could just murder him, I guess. They've had a couple back-and-forth ones in recent years, and that is becoming a very good non-divisional sort of rivalry. So that's going to be fun to watch. But yeah, if the Saints win, we'll play the Saints. If they lose, if the Vikings win, we're going to get the winner of Seahawks-Eagles, which I'm going to say I think that's the Seahawks. And I guess I'm not sure which of those two or the three teams we could play. Here's the answer is, I guess, generally speaking, you want to play the team that lost. If the Saints win, you'd rather have played the Eagles. It's the way it is.
I want whatever scenario involves the Seahawks playing the 49ers. Because the Seahawks can beat the 49ers.
Well, that'll be Saints and Seahawks. And then we have a chance then next week. We would get the Saints up here. Man, that team has got some they've got some talent. That defense is very much improved. They've got good corners. They got decent linebackers. They've got a couple guys who can rush the passer. They've got a good tight end, which is really our defense's biggest Achilles heel of the several Achilles heels that we run around.
Wasn't that our tight end?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he was the Raiders tight end, and then he was the Saints tight end.
Give him some cross-country traveling guy. So the Saints are the Saints, and they're going to be tough regardless. I really think they're going to make mincemeat out of the Vikings. And everyone forgets that except for the Minneapolis Miracle. Like, the Vikings were down and out. And outside of one cornerback that was really trying to
The safety who lit up his own corner? Yeah.
Yeah, just lit up his own corner because he didn't want to touch the wide receiver. I just, that was, if he would have played that ball normally or even had pass interference, the Vikings probably wouldn't have won the game, you know, because pass interference would have involved them having to have another play to win the game instead of Stephon Diggs, right? So, I mean, the Saints have had, and as much as Vikings fans hate the Packers, it's just because we're in the same division, they hate the Saints the most, and then they hate the Eagles for what happened when their fans got just rained down on with garbage at Philadelphia a couple of years ago. The week after the Minneapolis Miracle. But, yeah, so they'll probably get handled. Seattle plays Eagles. Eagles are depleted. The NFC East was on full display this year. Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about the fact that the Cowboys are knocked out. I said it a couple of weeks ago when the Bears beat the Cowboys. I hate the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
They're the team we hate the most. Yet, I found some sick satisfaction in watching them just pound the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. Because we're children of the 90s, so we had to deal with the Cowboys in the 90s. And how many more Super Bowls would a Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren had if it wasn't for the Troy Aikman Cowboys? So, anyways. So, good riddance, Cowboys. Have fun with your offseason. I mean, we're not going to see the Eagles. The only way we're going to see the Eagles are in the NFC Championship game, right? That's how that works out? Yeah, we're not going to see the Eagles.
No, we could see the Eagles if the Vikings win, we'll see the winner of the other game.
Oh, if the Vikings beat the Saints, yeah. But they won't. So I guess Saints and then hopefully get the Seahawks in Green Bay. Let them knock off San Francisco, because I don't want the Packers to go back to San Francisco.
No, I don't either. I'll tell you honestly, San Francisco, I think the 49ers Bosa are going to win this thing.
Bosa is a beast. Yeah. And that guy, that team is well put together. They don't do well against tight ends. And guess what? The 49ers have the best tight end
yeah.
ever. Kittle is ridiculous.
He's crazy good. He's the best right now. That's for sure.
And Mostert, the running back they got going now, that guy's insane.
They run three different running backs at you, too.
Seattle's got this weird thing where they can knock off any team at any time, but then they can lose to the Cardinals last week, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just Seattle, for whatever reason, in the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, has been that team that can knock off anybody at any given time. This Packers team, I don't think, is set up be in a boat race with anybody. The only team that they really knocked out hard this year were the Oakland Raiders. Otherwise, every other game has been a very defensive slugfest. I don't think they can go slugfest with the 49ers. I think they can go slugfest with the Saints. I think they can go slugfest with the Seahawks, which they have gone slugfest with the Vikings twice, and they went slugfest with the Eagles and came up short. So, I just don't want to see the 49ers, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. I don't think that's
a matchup. Plus, if Seattle takes out the 49ers, then the NFC Championship game's at Lambeau Field. So
that would be nice, too. That's a secondary bonus. All right, everybody, that's going to wrap it up for our Packer coverage for this week. We're going to come back to you next week. We'll talk about who the Packers are going to be playing at that point and kind of get an idea of where we're going to what we're looking forward to in the divisional round. But we get a week off of Packers talk. We get to start looking at people playing while we rest for a week and get ready to play an NFC divisional game at Lambeau Field. All right, and until next week, or unless you're going to listen to kind of our second episode here, just remember that whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
Skol! Skol!
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.